Well, this is one we do need to know, absolutely. Did you know that last year only 45% of adults got a flu shot? Now, as I said, I'm admitting it, I did not have one last year. I didn't have one for about the last 20 or 25 years. A few years ago, I really did have 2 years in a row bad reaction to it, really, really bad reaction. But you know what? This is a different time, and we are facing a new enemy, the COVID-19 pandemic. So let's take a good look at why it's absolutely necessary with Dr. Rahul Gupta, Medical Director of the March of Dimes during October and November. Dr. Gupta, nice to have you with us on the show.
It is so great to be here.
Well, I appreciate it because, I don't know, we need to understand why we need to have this flu shot. Obviously, they say, well, yeah, but it's not the same as the coronavirus. No, it's not. But how would you like to have both the coronavirus and the flu, right?
That's exactly right, Mary Jane. The fact is that we're in the middle of a pandemic emergency, and experts are predicting a possible second wave in the coming winter months. Mm-hmm. We've got to make sure that we don't add another challenge to this pandemic, which is already killing people, with a flu season that could become very overwhelming very fast.
And to have a double whammy, I can't even imagine having both of them at the same time. And isn't it true that it's very difficult for a doctor, at least at the onset, to know whether it's the coronavirus or whatever the regular flu was going to be, because the symptoms are pretty much the same?
Exactly right. Their symptoms are the same. It's very difficult clinically to tell the difference. You have to order tests. And the way you get exposed is pretty much the same, too. So if you're in a crowd or you're with people who are sick, you don't know which one you may have contracted. But make no mistake about it, they're both deadly. And the reason that becomes more deadly with the twindemic, as we call it, coming in, is the fact that it's the same hospital systems that you have to go to. So if the hospital systems and our healthcare system is already overwhelmed with fact that we've got a lot of people in the hospital and in ICUs, then you're not going to get that admission, and unfortunately, we're going to have bad results.
Yeah. Now, there are also two different kinds of flu shots. There's one that's the regular flu shot, and there's one the high potency. Who gets what?
The high potency ones is specially made for our senior citizens. It's important to note that with seniors, the regular flu shot may not get you enough of a strength to have a rebound in your antibodies and in your immunity. So the high dose, it has a little more side effects, local side effects, but it really works great. And now the good news this year especially is that we used to have usually three types of antigens of three different flu strains in the vaccine. So you got three-in-one shot. Now the four-in-one is available for the high dose. So for regular folks, yeah, now senior citizens, we have the 4-in-1 and the 3-in-1, but for senior citizens, for the first time, we're going to have the 4-in-1 high-dose shot available.
And you almost have to. It's kind of hard to predict which strain of flu is going to come in the fall, isn't it?
That's exactly right. It's very hard to predict, but one thing is very clear, that it is going to be there. It may be as bad or less bad than the COVID itself. But the important thing to realize is this is something you could do for yourself right now. We may not have the COVID vaccine for a while, but we do have plenty of, flu vaccine. And one of the things we can do ourselves is to make sure that we go get the shot, protect not just ourselves, but that also helps protect your family as well as your neighbors and your community.
And really, insist. Let's be honest about it, because this happened to me, and it not a bad thing, but one that you have to kind of insist for something. I had the choice of having the regular flu shot or the high potency. I said, I want the high potency because I'm over 65. And they said, well, we're out of it. Well, then when are you going to get it? Because well, we're going to get a shipment, maybe this, maybe that. I said, I'm going to be calling you every day, and you let me know when you have it. Well, they happened to find a couple of doses of it because I was a pest. Let's put it that way. And I got my high dose. And I felt better about it. And like I said, I haven't had it for really 20 years because I did have some bad reaction. But I figured, you know, that was a long time ago. Vaccines have come a long way from then. And I figured, well, yeah, but with the pandemic, I'm not taking a chance here. So I got my high potency shot and relatively small. I mean, soreness in the arm, you know, because it's the muscle, you know, that you're going into.
Yeah.
And I think I had a little bit of a headache for a couple of days. Nothing really that bad. But there are some side effects. And if you have them, just know what they are and don't get panicked about it, right?
That's exactly right, Mary Jane. One of the things that we always tell people is, you know, when I went to with my family to get the flu shot in the local pharmacy, it was not only easy to get, it saved time, but you got to remember that you can have, just like you said, a local reaction, but the flu shot does not give you the flu. You could have a mild fever sometimes or a headache or a local reaction, but it's most of the flu shots are killed versions. Only the nasal spray has a very weak live version, and we don't have any evidence to suggest even that causes any flu. Now, oftentimes, you may have already got an infection that could show up because it does take 2 weeks for your body to build that immunity. And one of the reasons we're talking about it today is this is the perfect time to get your flu shot, because just because you get the flu shot today doesn't mean you've got the full immunity tomorrow. It does take time, and you want to allow the time to happen now when flu isn't very prevalent before it becomes prevalent, so you're protected.
It's nice to know that it's at least four, because there was a time when basically it was just one type of flu that it was going to help with. This was years ago, but like one. And you're going, yeah, but that's a crapshoot, man. You know, only one. There's so many different kinds of viruses. Who knows what's going to be coming in the fall? They had to take a guess at it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we've gotten so much better, not only just in understanding the virus for the flu, but also developing the vaccine. The technology has gotten better. The safety, it's one of the most studied products.
Or the vehicle on the side of the road, slow down to at least 20 miles per hour below the speed limit and move to the next lane. And if you think you need to pull over to the side of the road, do so only if it's an emergency, and never pull over to the median side of the highway. Park as far from the highway as possible. Turn on your hazard lights, make sure all passengers get out of the vehicle, and light flares if you have them. And don't risk your life trying to change a flat tire on a dangerous highway. Carefully drive to the nearest exit. To learn more, visit nationalpolice.org.
And I told you, I promised I'm going to get Dr. Gupta back, and here he is. He's back again. Sorry about that. I said we were not laughing, but, you know, we're talking about we have power outages here. We got fires. We got wind. And what do I lose? The phone, you know. Anyway, thank you for being back with us. All right. Now, the flu shots, since you are with the March of Dimes, it is necessary for us to talk a little bit about pregnant women. They should have the flu shot, right?
Absolutely, they should. And, you know, we're starting to see patients, including pregnant women and seniors, take charge and get ahead of the flu season by taking their flu shots. We already know that pregnant people get about 50% rate, generally speaking, in any season, which is unacceptable. As you mentioned at the beginning of the program, around 40% of Americans generally, but between about 42-43% of Californians actually get the flu shot in terms of adults. Mm-hmm. We've got to make sure that our pregnant people are protected during this time, because nowhere it is more critical than to make sure that the most vulnerable amongst us, senior citizens, those with chronic illnesses, and pregnant people get the protection they need now in order to fight both the flu and get protected against the COVID as well.
So now, what is the difference then between the regular flu shot and the high potency one?
Well, the high potency basically has enhanced way of acting because of certain potency, adjuvants in there, so they can have an increased and enhanced reaction for the antigen. So this allows the body to mount a antibody response. So remember that when we age, some of our immune response isn't as robust as it was earlier in life. So this adjuvant addition allows a better response to develop for our body, so we can have the sufficient antibodies to fight the flu vaccine, a flu virus, through this vaccine when and if we do come in contact with somebody who's ill.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, I understand that the CDC actually recommends that everyone 6 months of age and older get vaccinated every flu season. We know that. But children 6 months through 8 years of age may need two doses during a single flu season. Why is that?
Yeah, Mary Jane, kind of the reason is very similar to seniors, but in a different way, which is that, first of all, for the first 6 months, you cannot have enough antibodies developed, and the vaccine, frankly, hasn't been tested. That's why it's 6 months and over. Now, between 6 months and 8 years, you may not develop enough of immunity just with one shot. So we need another dose to boost that immune response, basically. So it's all about the ability in your body to develop enough antibodies, which is the, those things that fight against the virus. Now, for young kids, because they haven't been vaccinated regularly over the years, they might need a boost. And the second vaccine works as a boost to increase the antibody levels against the virus. We do that way in young kids, and for seniors, we do it with a higher dose. So it's the same concept, basically. The idea is to have enough antibodies in your body so you can fight off the virus.
Now, I've also did some reading and found out that with the flu shot, there is a very, very small chance of Guillain-Barré syndrome. Now, people need to know what GBS is.
Yeah, so Guillain-Barré syndrome basically is a type of neurological disorder, basically. So in Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is very, very rare, it's one of those variants that you normally would not see, and I've taken care of some of the patients, but it basically may cause a polyneuritis and polyneuropathy. That the way you see it is that you might get a paralysis of your legs, arms, and then you may have to be hospitalized. Now, certainly, if someone's had that, then they're recommended not to get the vaccine again. But it is very, very rare to have that reaction. That reaction can occur through any vaccine or any, a lot of intervention that we do. So it is, those diseases, the rare ones, are possible, but they're very, very rare. And there's a monitoring system that we continue to monitor across the country each year and protect, make sure that people are protected. Nowhere is any of those, unless you have had that, is a reason not to get the vaccine.
Is there any group, big or small or young or old, that should not have the flu vaccine?
Certainly, if you've had a true allergic reaction to the vaccine, you don't want to get the vaccine again, and your provider will tell you that, basically. So that's an important piece. Of course, for some of the vaccines that may have been produced through through the eggs, the egg allergy, if it's true egg allergy, then definitely is not a good idea to get one. We also know the nasal spray is not recommended for kids before 2 years of age or above 50 years, as well as for pregnant people. It is not recommended. But other than that, for the large variety of the population, it is safe, and it is recommended.
Got it. Now, you, of course, are with the March of Dimes, and I think it's necessary to mention the March of Dimes has been around a long time.
Absolutely. We began all the way from polio and have done a lot for children, especially for birth defects, for fortification of flowers, spinal cord defects, as well as for mothers.
It's amazing. I mean, the March of Dimes has been around 80 years and still going strong because there's still a need for it.
There is. That is just the truth be told. And with this pandemic, we realize why is it important? It's important not just because we have a pandemic. We have, hundreds of thousands of Americans dying, and, even California just in the last 24 hours, if you look at it from this morning backwards, you know, we've had a death every 15 minutes in California. We've had a case every two cases every minute. So it's important, but also it's important to make sure that along with this pandemic, you know, people have been offered the opportunity to protect themselves, to do what they can, especially the most vulnerable amongst us, as I mentioned, you know, infants and pregnant women and those with chronic conditions are at high risk. And we've got to recognize that, and we've got to do as a society what we can as Americans to protect them. And taking the flu shot, wearing your mask, social distancing, washing your hands, avoiding large gatherings are some of those things we can do in order to fight this pandemic as well as the flu, upcoming flu season, and be able to prevail.
You know, Dr. Gupta, how can we persuade people who say, I don't really need to wear a mask? It's all, you know, put up and, you know, my immune system's going to be able to fight it off and all this kind of thing. How can we persuade them just, please, you know, for the, if not for your sake, for the sake of other people, because wearing a mask is not necessarily saving the person wearing the mask. It's saving other people around them, right?
That's exactly right. We know that there's people who may be transmitting the infection. It is airborne, especially indoors, and may not have the symptoms, so there may be an incubation period, or maybe young people who may not be sick as much with the disease. So it's very important. You know, if you had your grandma in front of you, you want to protect her, wouldn't you? If you had your child in front, you would want to protect the child. So we know that this human aspect within us that transcends politics, that transcends our own personal views about things, and we just have to appeal to that. I think one of the things we've got to do is appeal to the human spirit when we're addressing this big issue. You know, this is the first time in 100 years since the 1918 pandemic that we're seeing something like this. And it's very,
you know,
very important.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Gupta, it's how do we persuade young people? Because they, oh, I'll get it, but I'll get over it. Well, we don't know that because we're seeing some cases. Now, from regular flu that we normally mm-hmm. have every year, like the one that's going to be coming this fall, you know, people do die from that. Usually if you have it and you get over it, you're not going to have a problem anymore. Not so with the coronavirus. They're finding other issues like brain problems, heart problems, kidney and liver problems, people who are just, you know, young people. These are young people wiped out. They can't feel like they even want to move anymore. How do we persuade them that it could follow you the rest of your life?
That's so true, Mary Jane. You know, one of the things I will say to you is that, you know, we worked a lot in preterm, prematurity, and preterm birth, and Marjorie Dimes. And one of the things we've seen is the consequences of preterm birth can be lifelong. I mean, it's just not medical and health and your breathing problems and heart problems, but you can have problems with the relationships, with the ability to see, hear, and all those things. Very similarly, we don't even know very clearly what are the long-term consequences in terms of knowledge. So we're developing that knowledge, and you're exactly right. We are identifying some of the long-term impacts. And imagine if this young generation would to have a certain percentage long-term impact, how terrible it would be, not just for the health of our country, but also for the economy of our country. I mean, we're talking about a labor workforce. We have so many people that are out of a job today. Imagine those you know, young people who weren't able to continue their jobs or do well where otherwise they could have in the future just because they just didn't know. I mean, even with 9/11, we knew at the time. We didn't know a lot. Now we saw afterwards. You know, every disaster has consequences that have a tail to them. And it would be a mistake not to think about that ahead of time.
Respect the viruses because they, and it's really kind of strange because we think, oh, it's just like a bacteria. No, bacteria can live on its own, but a virus doesn't. It needs a host, and we're it, right?
That's exactly it. And, you know, the thing is that those countries across the globe that are taking it seriously, they're actually having good outcomes, and they're saving their economies as a result of that, as well as their workforce and the health of their people. And we need to be thinking that way. We need to be thinking that this is an opportunity for us to really, this is truly the fight for our nation, our nation's survival. This doesn't happen every day. It has its tentacles. We see increased rates of suicides. We see increased rates of drug use now. We see all kinds of things that are under the covers that are happening as a result of this pandemic. The sooner we can actually take those measures, defeat the virus, the better it is for our nation and for everyone amongst us.
Absolutely. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's a very small percentage of the people that are dying. Tell that to the families of these 230,000 people that are dead.
Exactly right. And if you were to take that to its natural course along herd immunity, imagine the tens of millions of people that would have to die, that would have to suffer, that would have to have long-term consequences. It is not a scientific approach. It is not an approach that we've ever taken or anybody has taken. It's a very cruel way to think. So we need to think, and we need to use the best science. I mean, science should be used not as a weapon, but as an instrument of hope, instrument to get us and tide over this pandemic. It is important that we continue to follow the best science as we're learning and adapt it to make decisions. And every one of us can do it. I mean, the time of having internet and having information at our fingertips, it really actually allows us to utilize the science and information to make best decisions for ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, with this herd immunity thing, I keep hearing that, and I kind of cringe when I hear it, because we're talking to get to what you would consider herd immunity. You know, we've got 330, 340 million people in this country. So that would mean, what, 200 million people would have to get this?
That's exactly right. A lot more people and people who will be sick and people who will die. We have, all of us care for our loved ones. That's not even a way to move forward. I was going to say that's not American, but that's not human to look at that. I think what we have to do is to figure out a way to take and address this with the, we know what measures work from a scientific standpoint. That goes back to wearing a mask, is to avoid indoor gatherings, outdoor gatherings if they're large, social distancing, washing your hands. And funny enough, they work for flu too, by the way. And then we wait for a safe and effective vaccine to come along, and that's where we're going to start to see a long-term impact. And that's what will happen with H1N1. And, we will be on our way to opening up businesses. We will be on our way to opening up the economy, saving lives. But one of the things we got to be careful about going into the winter months is we cannot afford to overwhelm our hospitals. We only have finite healthcare system in this nation, including ventilators and staff, healthcare staff that's there. And we can't afford to have all the beds locked up, because that means everybody else is going to die on the street. And that's just not a good way to go about when we know, at least for the flu, we know what works. And for COVID, we know what science is telling us. We need to listen to the science.
Well, look at El Paso. As we speak, El Paso, Texas is pretty much shut down. Their capacity, they're way over capacity in their hospitals with COVID-19, and they're getting to a point that they might, they have to mandate masks. And, it's common sense. We don't want to make you do something. Do it because it makes sense.
That's exactly right. I think if we take our actions and our responsibilities as Americans, I think we can defeat the virus. It is all about being able to be responsible and for the consequences of our actions. And, we've been a common sense nation since its founding. And this is time again to think about that and really think about, okay, what works, what doesn't work? Let's stop doing what doesn't work and focus on doing as a community what does work.
Fantastic. Dr. Gupta, if people want to find out more about the March of Dimes, I would imagine all they need to do is Google, right?
Exactly. MarchofDimes.org. You can go to the site. You can find a lot of good information on COVID, on the flu, And then you can also go to the CDC's website, cdc.gov, and find a lot of information on all science and true, genuine information based in evidence and science.
Well, Dr. Gupta, again, thank you so much for being with us today. Keep up the good work, because got to keep beating that drum and trying to persuade people just to use some common sense so we can get over this.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Anytime. You are welcome to come back.
Okay, wonderful.
And take care.
You too. You too. Be safe.